Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis, and we're continuing our look at do the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God still apply to believers who have come to faith in our Messiah Yeshua? Are the commandments still important? So today I'd like to talk about just a few questions and see how you respond to the questions. So if you have a pencil and piece of paper, just make a mental note. The first question I want to ask is, if we do not keep his commandments, does he or does he not say you do not love him? The first scripture we'll look at and to answer that question is John 14:15, where Messiah himself says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But then a little later in the same chapter, in John chapter 14, verses 23 to 24, says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So if you will not keep God's commandments, Jesus himself says, you do not love me. The second question I want to look at is, if you do not keep his commandments, does he or does he not say that you do not know him? Let's start with John chapter 17, verse 3, which says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So to know God is to have eternal life. So let's go to the test in the scriptures. Do you know him or do you not? Many people don't realize that the scripture gives us a test. And it's in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. In the online Bible I'm using as I'm teaching now, there's a title above verse 3 that says, the test of knowing him, because that's precisely what John gives us in these verses. In verse 3, it says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So just as the answer to the first question was, if you do not keep his commandments, he says you do not love him. In these passages, he answers the question, if you do not keep his commandments, he says you do not even know him. And to know him is to have eternal life. That should cause you some pause. And people go, wait a minute, wait, Wayne, we're saved by faith, not by works. And that's absolutely true. The issue here is not how is one saved. One saved by faith, there is no other way. But if you are truly saved by faith, the scripture says you will keep God's commandments. I know that's not what you've been taught in many of the churches here in the United States and around the world, but it is what the Bible says. The third question I want to examine, if you do not keep his commandments, does he or does he not say, not only that you do not know him, but that he does not know you either? For that we need to go to Matthew chapter 7 to verses 21 to 23. Titled again in the online Bible here, I never knew you. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that means to keep God's commandments, we're going to find as we read the next two verses. Many will say to me, in that day. In what day? In the day of the Lord. That's when judgment day is. So Messiah says, many will say to me, come judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. 1 John 3:4 defines lawlessness when it says sin is lawlessness. The Greek word anomia means to break God's commandments. So Messiah himself says here that come judgment day, you may call him Lord, Lord, and say, look at all the wonderful things I've done in your name. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That should give us pause. So the answer to the third question, if you do not keep his commandments, he says he does not know you. On to the fourth. Do you realize the scripture says that if you do not keep his commandments, then he will not hear your prayers? Turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, to verse 9. It says, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, the word law there in Hebrew is Torah, is God's commandments, statutes, and judgments, says even his prayer is an abomination. God says, if you will not hear my commandments, I will not hear your prayers either. And some people go, well, Wayne, that's Old Testament. Well, it says the same thing in the book of John, chapter 9, verse 31. It says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So from Matthew chapter 7, we know what it means to say, and does his will. So the scripture here says, if you are a sinner, you're walking in lawlessness, you will not keep God's commandments, then he's not going to hear your prayers either. But if you're a worshiper of his and you keep his commandments, then God will hear you. How many of you just are brokenhearted because you pray and you pray and you pray and God doesn't give you what you're praying for? Well, maybe I ought to go back and take a look at the scriptures which tell you that if you won't hear God's commandments, he's not going to hear your prayers either. So number four, if you do not keep his commandments, yes, he says he will not hear your prayers. The fifth question I want to look at is, if you do not keep his commandments, does he or does he not say that you do not have faith? To answer that question, let's go up to the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and read verses 16 through 19. It's referring back to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Do you realize that God did not allow any of the children of Israel to enter into the promised land if they were over 20 years old when they came out of Egypt, except for Joshua and Caleb? The rest died in the wilderness. Those who heard God's own voice at Mount Sinai, they saw the mountain on fire, they heard the quakes, they heard the sound of the trumpet, and they heard God's own words in their ears. And then they cried to Moses, don't let God speak to us anymore. Let him speak to you, and you tell us, and we will believe that it came from God because we heard these with our own ears. Those are the people that are being discussed here in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 16. For who, having heard the voice of God with their own ears, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Did you catch that? The scripture says, they did not obey because they did not believe. Had they believed in God, then they would have obeyed God. And that's something that's sometimes hard to understand. We have an English language word, belief, that we think the Bible is referring to, but it's actually not. In the Hebrew language, the word belief there goes back to the verb he'amin, and it means when God speaks, you believe his words. You take him at his word. You know his word does not change. So those who heard God's own words with their own ears and knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a God in heaven still perished because of unbelief. They heard the words, but they did not act on the words. In God's view, that is a lack of faith. They did not obey, and therefore they did not believe. So to answer that fifth question, if you do not keep his commandments, he says you do not have faith. Yes, that's what he's saying. That if you had faith, you would be obedient. If you're saved by faith, you will keep his commandments. The next question I want to look at is, if you do not keep his commandments, does he or does he not say that you are of the devil? That's in 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God, that means saved by faith, does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest, meaning made obvious. How can you tell a child of God from a child of the devil? Says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So what point is God trying to make here? That if you're living a life of lawlessness, as we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, then God says, you're not his child. You're a child of the devil. That's what he called the scribes and Pharisees. Were sons of the devil, because they would not follow God's commandments, but rather wanted to follow the man-made commandments of the scribes and the Pharisees. They wanted to follow man-made rules and regulations rather than the commandments of God. So yes, he says, if you do not keep his commandments, he says you are of the devil. The next question is answered in the same chapter, 1 John chapter 3. And that question is, if you keep his commandments, does he or does he not say that you are righteous as he is righteous? That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, which says, little children, let no one deceive you, meaning there are going to be false teachers down through the ages that are going to teach people that if you're saved by faith, then you don't need to walk in God's commandments, that you're holy and righteous in his eyes. The Bible does not teach that. Rather, this says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Again, from our studies, we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that righteousness is the opposite of lawlessness. If you are walking in God's commandments, he says, then you are righteous, just as he is righteous. Of course, that is not a method of salvation. You can only be saved by faith, but then you walk in righteousness. And when you walk in righteousness, that's when God calls you righteous here. So to answer that seventh question, if you keep his commandments, he says you are righteous as he is righteous. Yes, that is exactly what he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. The next issue we want to discuss is the question that reads like this. If you keep his commandments, you have the right to the tree of life in the New Jerusalem, otherwise no. Is that true, or is that not true? Well, to find the answer to that, let's go to the book of Revelation. to chapter 22, and we'll start in verse 12. These are the words of Messiah. "And behold," it says, "I am coming quickly." That doesn't mean soon. It means that when the end times begin, they conclude very rapidly. The word is like the word that you use in the car to describe the tachometer, which measures the speed, the rotations. "So I'm coming rapidly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Not his words, but his work. Now, my Baptist commentary throws up all over this verse and says, clearly they used a faulty Greek text because this teaches salvation by works. But it does not. It's not at all trying to teach salvation by works. Salvation's by faith. What it's trying to say is that if you are saved by faith, it will be evidenced by your obedience to God's commandments. Why? He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He says, "What is the love of God? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So it says he's going to give the reward to everyone according to his work. The reward is not salvation. Salvation's only by faith. But what kind of rewards are we talking about? Well, there's five crowns, but there's more. Let's read on. Verse 13 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," or in Hebrew, "I'm the Aleph and the Tav." There are a lot of Aleph Tavs in the scriptures that are not translated because the translators didn't know what that meant. Messiah says, "I am that Aleph and the Tav." In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But twice in that one verse, you find the Aleph Tav, which tells us that in the beginning, God, through Messiah, created the heavens and the earth. You find it also in Zechariah 12:10, "And they shall look upon me, Aleph Tav, whom they pierced, and mourn for him as they would for an only son." It goes on in verse 30 to say, "I'm the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last," which are words used by God himself back in Isaiah chapter 41. So is this trying to tell us that Yeshua is God from all creation? Yes, it does. Just like Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, one of the terms for Messiah is El Gibor, which means mighty God. More than that, Gibor is not just mighty one, but it's a mighty warrior. So God is a mighty warrior, and that's a term for Messiah. In the book of Hebrews, God calls Yeshua God. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh, and dwelt," or tabernacled, "amongst us." Yeshua is God from all eternity, and he's telling us that right here. In verse 14, that's what we really came to see. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city." So who can enter the gate? "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life," which is in the New Jerusalem. That's in Revelation chapter 22. "And may enter through the gates into the city." That city is the New Jerusalem. That means that you have eternal life, that you're going to dwell eternally with the Lord our God and the Messiah who saved us. Verse 15, "But outside, that is, those in the lake of fire burning forever and ever, are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie," meaning those who chose to practice lawlessness, those who refuse to follow the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God out of love and out of faith, they will not have eternal life. They will not enter into the New Jerusalem, but rather they're going to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever. The scriptures keep focusing us in the New Testament on Judgment Day. Think about Judgment Day. How do we want to be come Judgment Day? Let me read you something from 2 Peter chapter 3. As you know, Peter was a fisherman. He was what's called in Hebrew Am Haaretz. That is a common person, a person of the land. And he says Paul is very well educated and very intelligent. And if you're not careful, you can misread Paul right to the lake of fire. After discussing Judgment Day, in fact, let me read it from 2 Peter chapter 3 on Judgment Day, verse 10. But the day of the Lord, that's that thousand-year period from the rapture and the resurrection to the new heavens, the new earth, and part of the day of the Lord is Judgment Day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, you know what the word therefore means, because of what was just said. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, that is to Judgment Day, be diligent, which means to be really careful, try hard. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. That without spot and blameless is the Hebrew concept of tamim. It's the same standard that applies to the lambs that are sacrificed at Passover. They have to be without spot. They have to be without something that would indicate in pictures sin. So being without spot and blameless means don't let him find you covered in sin. It says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That is, that's why Judgment Day has been so long in the coming. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what Peter's trying to tell us is, there are some things Paul said, that if you do not understand the language of Hebrew and the customs in which it was said, you can misunderstand them and be led away from your righteousness right to the lake of fire. That's a scary concept, but it's very true. For example, in Romans chapter 14, people read Romans chapter 14 and say, well, that tells me I can eat pigs and I don't have to keep the Sabbath. That's because of a lack of understanding of the background that goes with it. Romans chapter 14 is about a man-made fast, where the scribes and the Pharisees mandated on the people that they had to do a partial fast twice a week, on Mondays and in Thursdays. Messiah refers to that in a parable in Luke chapter 18, when in the parable the Pharisee says, I fast twice a week. He's talking about that rabbinic required fast, which was not a complete and total fast like Yom Kippur. At Yom Kippur, that's the one day a year God said we can eat nothing and we can drink nothing. But on Mondays and Thursdays, the rabbis imposed upon the people, they could not eat meat of any kind, nor could they drink wine. They could eat only vegetables and drink water. If you knew that, as you read Romans 14, you would never think Paul's talking about somebody should eat pigs or break the Sabbath. What he's trying to say is when you come to something man-made like that, those man-made rules, that's not from God. Those are doubtful things, he calls it in Romans 14. And he says, if somebody who's a new believer continues to avoid meat and wine on Mondays and Thursdays, then one who has more faith shouldn't put those people down and say that they are wrong and are unsaved because they're following these rabbinic practices that they haven't learned yet are not mandatory, that they're not from God, because the scribes and Pharisees tell them that if we tell you to do it, it's from God. Likewise, neither should those that are weak in the faith and follow that practice condemn those strong in the faith who say, I'm going to eat lamb on Mondays and Thursdays. I don't care what the rabbis say about it, because they're not God. God tells me what I can eat and what I can't eat. That's what Romans 14 is all about. Okay, let me get back on track here and go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, because we have one more question to resolve. If you keep his commandments and teach others, does he or does he not say you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven? The answer to that begins in Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. After telling us that till heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or piece of a letter will pass from the Torah, he says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Sorry. Whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does and teaches the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, that he calls here the law, he says, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's also in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Which says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So how did you do in our little quiz? Let me just review here. The scripture does say, if you do not keep his commandments, then he says you do not love him. If you do not keep his commandments, he says you do not know him. If you do not keep his commandments, he says he does not know you either. If you do not keep his commandments, he says he will not hear your prayers. If you do not keep his commandments, he says you do not have faith. If you do not keep his commandments, he says you are of the devil. If you keep his commandments, though, he says you are righteous as he is righteous. If you keep his commandments, you have the right to the tree of life and the new Jerusalem. Otherwise, no. And finally, if you keep his commandments and teach others to do so, he says you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. None of this says that we're saved by works. You cannot be saved by works. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, Abram believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. God put blood upon that covenant, and a covenant sealed in blood by the Lord our God cannot be broken. He could not come back later and say, I've changed my mind, and salvation's going to be by works. What the Bible tells us over and over again is that if you are saved by faith, then you will keep God's commandments out of love for a loving Father. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, what is the love of God? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So if you have been taught in the churches that you've attended that we are not to keep God's commandments anymore, just take another look at this quiz and see